Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here on our program by phone. Dr. John Chuck Chalberg is with us here this morning, and he'll be portraying President Teddy Roosevelt in a program that's coming up at the Warren Cultural Center this Sunday, September 27th, and they hope to have a nice crowd for that presentation. Chuck, thank you so much for the time today.
Well, you're entirely welcome.
Appreciate it. I shouldn't say do you do, because I can see a list here. You do a lot of these types of presentations, and more than just Teddy Roosevelt.
I do. I do a few writers. English writer G.K. Chesterton. Another Englishman, George Orwell, whom I don't do very often anymore. And an American writer, H.L. Mencken, whose 140th birthday was last Saturday the 12th. And I was in Baltimore, where he lived, the sage of Baltimore, and did him outdoors in the backyard of the Mencken home on Union Square in Baltimore.
Wow!
And I've done Patrick Henry and Huey Long. I'm from Minnesota, and I've done a few Minnesota political figures, Ignatius Donnelly, an old populist from the late 19th century, and farmer labor governor Floyd B. Olson of the 1930s. I try to stay away from people who are still alive.
Well, I see you've done some sports legends as well, and you seem to have quite an interest in diving into these types of things and then presenting them in a way that kind of brings it in focus to people.
Well, I hope so. Yes, I forgot. I am a golfer. Roosevelt thought golf was a sissy game. Talked a lot from his throat. He didn't like golf at all. But, yeah, I do Bobby Jones. I haven't done him in a while. I used to do him for Chautauquas around the country and a few clubs, golf clubs. And I'm an old baseball fan. I learned very early that I wasn't very good at it. It was the great tragedy of my childhood. I loved baseball, but as soon as the pitcher let the ball go, my left foot was halfway to third base. So, But my dreams became becoming a general manager of a baseball team, and that never happened either. But I do play Branch Rickey, who signed Jackie Robinson and broke the color line and ran the Brooklyn Dodgers for a number of years, among other teams.
You bet.
So yes, I forgot those two.
Yeah. Well, you've done a lot of studying. Teddy Roosevelt is one you'll be doing here this weekend. Talk a little bit about what it takes to be able to put on a presentation like this. How much time do you spend in research?
Well, really, it's an ongoing process. I've been doing Roosevelt for, 30-plus years. The Minnesota Humanities Commission asked me initially they found that I was doing this in the classroom, which is really, I taught at a suburban community college in the Twin Cities. I'm now retired, and I started doing this. They stuck me in the theater, which doubled as a classroom, and I thought, I'm going to try this. I read about this a little bit, and so that's really how it all started, and they somehow learned that I was doing this, and asked me to do Roosevelt for kind of a traveling Chautauqua around the state of Minnesota back in the in the late 1980s, and really it is an ongoing process. And the interesting thing about the Roosevelt show is that there's never been a script. They wanted me to do kind of an interactive show, and that's always the way it's been done. The others are, I write a script, memorize it, and do the script. And then the Chautauqua style is to do a set piece, then take questions in character, live questions, unrehearsed questions, in character, and then break character and maybe take the hat off or whatever, a piece of the costume, and then take questions out of character. Well, with Roosevelt, I have, depending on where I am and what the audience is, I'll have a set piece at the beginning, but it won't last that long. It'll become audience involvement. So whoever is listening to this and is interested in coming, you know, think of a few questions you might like to ask the former president. And I said it at the end of his life. I don't pretend that it's today and he's magically back in the year 2020. I said it as though he's on a farewell tour of the country, and it's 1918. The First World War is over. So I do leave some time after the whole show is done in character to, well, the difference, I guess, with the talk with care is that the audience involvement gets going, not immediately, but during the presentation. So when all of that's over, then I will break character and we can talk about the historical context a little bit and talk about what he might have to say about today. Sure. But in character, I'm not going to have him say anything about any current president or recent president.
Sure. Well, as you well know, in your lengthy background in American history, the history of the United States is dotted with characters, and Teddy Roosevelt sure fits that model.
He certainly does. He was a larger-than-life figure, and he was full of himself. He had his enemies. If I'm making him sound a little Trumpian here, I don't necessarily mean that, but I don't necessarily not mean it either. I mean, he talked about the wealthy criminal class, meaning, you know, people who opposed him, who were didn't like government regulation, and I mean, he used phrases. I don't think Bernie Sanders has used a phrase like that, the wealthy criminal class. Maybe he has, but then on the other extreme, on the left, people like Bernie Sanders, meaning socialists, or people well out there on the left, he called members of the lunatic fringe. So he mocked people. He made fun of people, and of course saw himself as somehow poised right in the middle, able to advance his progressive agenda of the early 20th century.
Sure. Well, of course, I think back to my childhood, too, in school, and sure, we had to memorize the presidents first on down the line and all, and they're all listed there, but there were some that obviously stood out, some for their accomplishments and what have you. Teddy Roosevelt always stood out, I guess, because, well, he just always stood out because that's the way he was.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he was an accidental president. He came back from the Spanish-American War and got himself elected governor of New York in that very fall of 1898, and discovered the bosses of New York politics, discovered he was much more of a reformer than they had bargained for. And come 1900, they wanted to get rid of him. And so they thought they would bury him by making him the vice presidential running mate of William McKinley. The original vice president under McKinley during his first term had died, and the office remained vacant. And Roosevelt was shoved into that office, figuring no one would ever hear from him again. And, of course, then McKinley is assassinated, and there you have it. Roosevelt is president and winds up on Mount Rushmore.
Just never know where life's going to take you. And
you don't.
No.
The damn cowboy was in the White House. McKinley's aide, Mark Hanna, famously said.
Yeah. Well, this Sunday, again, September 27th, it'll be a 2 p.m. performance there at the Warren Cultural Center in Greenfield. And, again, folks who come on by, you say just bring a lot of questions and just look to have a good time?
Yeah, I have been there. I came there. Actually, I have an old friend from college who lives in Omaha, and we have met in Greenfield to play golf with a fellow by the name of Gene Pertzer, a retired optometrist who's now 96 and still plays golf, much to Theodore Roosevelt's chagrin. So I have visited the Warren Cultural Center. What a great venue. I'm very much looking forward to bringing Mr. Roosevelt, Colonel Roosevelt, there on Sunday.
You bet. Well, I guess the only other question we have is it Roosevelt or Roosevelt?
You know, I have always said Roosevelt. And I think I could be wrong about this, but I think it was Franklin maybe wanting to distinguish himself a little bit from his Republican distant cousin. His wife, Eleanor, was much closer a relative of Theodore than Franklin was. Franklin was a fifth or sixth cousin, but Eleanor was the daughter of Theodore Roosevelt's ne'er-do-well brother, Elliot, who was a philanderer and a drinker and died fairly young. And in fact, they were married in the White House, Franklin and Eleanor, and T.R. gave his niece, quasi-daughter, away. And of course, she and Alice Roosevelt, Eleanor and Alice, who Alice was Roosevelt's daughter from his first marriage, his wife and his mother died on the same day in 1884. And she had just given birth to Alice. And Alice and Eleanor became famous enemies. If I have time for one quick story, Alice was still living in Washington, into the night. I think she was still alive during Nixon's presidency. But a friend of mine once told me that he visited Alice and noticed a picture of Eleanor in her front room. He asked her, he said, "I didn't think you two got along very well. Why is this picture there?" And Alice Roosevelt said, "Oh, poor dear Eleanor. She did so much for so many and so conspicuously." I'm sure she used that line repeatedly, but they notoriously did not get along.
Yeah. Well, see, we keep learning. So stop on by Sunday and enjoy that. Now, you can get your tickets ahead of time, by the way, at Ed and Eva's store, the Warren Cultural Center, during regular business hours. You can go online as well to thewarrenculturalcenter.com. Those adult tickets, $15 a piece. They'd love to have you come on by and have an opportunity to experience Teddy Roosevelt. Chuck, thank you so much for the time here today. Appreciate it. Have a great show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope we'll see many people there come Sunday.